Hi. Happy birthday. So just, I'm going to keep this in here, but for everyone who doesn't know, today's the 30th, April. Yesterday was April 29th, which is my papa's birthday, and he just turned 60, a full 6 decades, so just wish him a happy birthday. Which, by the way, I got so many messages, because I posted a photo of us on my story, just saying happy birthday, just one, because I know you don't like to be in public, but I got so many messages of like happy birthday for you.
Thank you all.
Be a little bit more enthusiastic.
That was me being super enthusiastic. Yeah. Exactly.
Okay. We're going to continue last time's thing, which is I got, bismillah, so many questions, and we barely got through, I think, 6 or 7 of them last time. So I thought we'd keep going.
Absolutely.
Okay. There is a question that I'm not sure I'm equipped to handle answering, so I'm actually going to give you the floor on this one. But she's a good friend of mine. Her name is Fatima. And she sent a question. Who are you before tradition, religion, and social conditioning got its hands on you?
Allah, who are we? The ultimate truth.
Okay. Alrighty, that's who you are before...
I'll just give you an example.
Yeah,
and
go
I,
for
and
it.
I witnessed this. And not in one country, but in that specific country, it was almost surreal. I watched children at a young age and how intelligent and brilliant they are. And then I saw them go to school. And I saw the dumbness that happens to them.
Yeah.
And I, in one incident, one of the girls was asked to write a line and repeat the line on 3 pages. So she wrote the line one time, second time, third time, perfect, no mistake. She gave to the teacher. The teacher said, no, continue writing. She said, there are no mistakes, chick. No, just continue writing. And then she said, no, I will not. Give me something else to write because this one, I already know how to write. Oh, Lord, what happened to that girl? Her family was called. Her grandparents were called. She disobeyed the teachers. All what she wanted to do is like, or to say, or to state, that I can do more.
Yeah.
Just give me another line.
Challenge me, yeah.
Challenge me. Nope. We need to dumb you down, not to challenge you.
I know exactly where this comes from, but again, I can't talk about it. But actually, this is a known fact. You can just Google it. Rockefeller went in and said, give me factory workers. And that's what the education system is based on.
So where she was before all of this was in a state of, actually before we come from the source of light. We come from a very heavenly source. And hopefully we end up going back there. We are here for a reason.
Yeah.
And I don't want to go into this because it's a journey. It's everybody's journey. It's everybody's trip. I always would advise anybody, regardless where his background, where his religion is, we all have very common features, very common ground. As humans, we need to have a source.
Yeah.
We need to have a destination. We need to have what we call qibla.
A purpose, yeah.
And just all what we do is try to go back from where we came. That's all. That's the whole journey.
Yeah.
Just go back from where you came.
Well, some of my favorite messages that I receive, and I feel it answers this question in a different way, but similar to what you said, but without a straightforward, I came up with the answer, is some of my favorite DMs that I've received are from Christian people from the West or wherever who just say, I love your videos. You've brought in me closer to God because at the end of the day, we worship the same Allah. And I find that beautiful. And then I received another message from a lady in Portugal yesterday. And she was like, I just wanted to say thank you. And I know this is a very random message, but if you're ever in my town in Portugal, I would love to host you at my place. And that's where it is. It has nothing to do with everything that, like she said in her question, got its hands on us. We're very much the exact same.
I have never tried to convert anybody.
No, you don't try to convert.
I've never tried to do that.
But that's not the question.
I know. I'm going there.
Okay, go for it.
Me being very happy with what I have and whom I am and what I carry as my faith and destination and qibla. I know ultimately that if anybody seeks the haqq, seeks the truth, he will be led in his own way.
Yeah.
By me going around and deciding that my way is the ultimate way and everybody has to follow me, I'll be giving myself a status or which I don't think I'm qualified for. As long as the message goes and people seek, we will finally meet.
SubhanAllah, I feel it's when you don't try that you attract. In the same sense that a flower needs to do nothing, the bees come to it. They need it.
Absolutely.
They're looking for it. They're sourcing it. They sense it. If the flower isn't trying to do anything, it's just, it's simply there. It simply exists.
Everything around us is pushing us to focus on our differences. How different we are.
Individualism.
If you go back to the tradition. By tradition, I mean the traditional thoughts, the traditional schools, the traditional way of living, the tradition. It was actually trying to do the contrary, trying to bring you into that which is common.
Mm.
And if we try to find that which is common, we will all be in heaven before we go to heaven.
Ameen. SubhanAllah, I was on the phone with my friend today, and I was telling her, I'm like, because she's very much rejecting Western ideologies, because especially I speak to women who, now that they turn late 20s, early 30s, they really understand just how hazardous and detrimental that was to us. And the essence of everything that they spewed is individualism. We were talking about this on the phone today. It's very individualistic. It's very me, myself, I, what I want, what I need. It's selfish in the worst of ways.
Yeah, let's be fair. That's not Western.
It is.
That's evil.
It is Western.
It's a lot of the Western so-called lifestyle is turning into that which is evil.
I stand by my statement. It is absolutely Western ideologies.
But if you look into our history, there were times where such evil was being put on people. In different shapes, in different packaging.
I understand what you're
saying. So this is not this disease. It's a disease in the mind and in the heart of societies and individuals.
I understand. I think I'm talking about maybe my peers, because we went to Western schools. We watched Western pop culture and movies. I think that's why we were affected by it more so than others. I think that's why I said that. But I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, what I'm trying to say is, if you develop your mind and your personality and your where you pick and choose, you have the ability to stop and say, that's bad, that's foul, that's evil, and find your way within all of this melange of cultures and thoughts and ways of thinking, you will finally be okay. I do not like it to brand a society evil or a way of thinking bad. It is way more complicated than that. They will be falling in the same trap that we're trying to warn others from.
Okay, I understand.
Ya Habiba.
All right. So that's question number one. Fixations, like the need to fixate on having someone to talk to. That's an example of fixations. But I think the question is fixations in general.
What is the other word for fixation?
Obsession.
You know, the word fixation is a diluted form of obsession. It's just making it sound slightly... Any obsession is bad.
Of course. But let's go deeper into her point of, like, fixating on needing someone to talk to. I think in this case, it's a girl who asked this question, excuse me. And I think she's referring to the need to have... Actually, it's presumptuous of me to say maybe a partner or a man to talk to, but maybe she even means a friend, because I know certain people that they can't even not have their friends to be texting and calling and hanging out with 24/7. And she's saying it's a fixation, a need that she can't seem to shake off.
Well, again, any fixation, any obsession is going to lead to destruction, is going to lead to ailment, sickness. It's a psychological disease. It comes from you not being okay with yourself.
Yeah, I think it comes from a lack, a self-lack, and the inability to sit with oneself. It's actually truly an epidemic.
Now, we have to consider one thing. Women, by their nature, are social. They need to talk.
Yeah.
If a woman is not talking, means that she's depressed or she's... Like, there is a certain amount of words a woman has to say a day to communicate, to talk, is very important for a woman. And that's by the nature of it.
Yeah.
And that's granted.
Okay.
Obsession is different. Obsession is like, if I don't do it, then...
You feel anxiety or depressed or sad. So that's the thing, this need to constantly have someone around.
And you just touched on the point. It's the anxiety that creates obsession. It's the fear. You see, this is where having a bath, having even the simplest form of spirituality, connection, helps in such. Because no drug, no social therapy, no psychological therapy will help you with that.
Yeah.
The only way these things can be managed beautifully and actually be turned into something good is by seeking a bath, seeking a higher...
I agree. I did a video about this before, and I always tell people, talk to God first. So let's, and the thing about depending on people is that you quickly become a slave to their whims and their presence or lack of presence. So this fixation on needing to have someone, what do you do when they're gone?
Try to have 1 hour in a dark room alone with yourself. Just you alone with yourself, with your own thoughts.
Does the room have to be dark?
Bitter?
I prefer a dark room. I will agree. Yeah.
Yeah.
The light makes me a little...
Tell me, how do you feel after?
I would also add to that, I'd say monitor your thoughts, watch them. And then come out of that hour, honestly, take down a page, a book, and write down what you thought and how
Absolutely.
That hour
do,
was.
Do it the way you want.
No, I think that's important.
That's very...
That you have to give people...
An easier path.
Not an easier, a path. That's clear. You start at the end after 60 years of experience. So, okay, you go into a dark room, but then what? So I would suggest give them something substantial and tangible like homework. People like homework because they can see, they can witness a tangible progress. It's important.
Very fine. You can, after the hour, write down.
Yeah.
But
and if you monitor your thoughts and then you see an awareness, so for example, they were negative, they were anxious, they were whatever, maybe the next day you're more careful, the next day, and maybe see in a month the difference in your thoughts, the difference in your
emotions.
If
you persevere, the time will come where you actually long for that hour.
Yes.
And if you persevere, the time will come where you really miss that hour. The time will come where it becomes your cleansing, You do anything not to miss that hour. Amazing if you can do that even late at night when everybody is sleeping.
Yeah.
Now, if you can do that, I guarantee you, you will have no obsessive thoughts.
See? Homework.
Homework.
Okay.
Thank you.
Alrighty. This is a good question. Actually, I think this is a beautiful question, and I think a lot of people will relate to this. How to process anger in a healthy way?
There is nothing healthy about anger.
But we're human and not saints, and we feel it. Ghasban anna.
Yeah. Acknowledge it. Don't try to suppress it. Don't try to just acknowledge it. Just if you tell yourself, oh, I am angry, 90% of your anger,
it subsides. I agree. When I get angry and I see myself like I'm about to get angry and I say it out loud, I'm like, I'm about to get angry. I don't.
Watch it. People who step from anger to rage to actually doing whatever physical manifesting.
It's a split second.
Tell them that you are angry, and the first thing they will tell you, no, I'm not angry. It's that anger had thrown you in the denial state. Now you are an animal. If you manage to acknowledge that you're angry, well, you've done a great job.
I think so too. I will also add, I think the healthiest way to process anger after, if you're able to acknowledge that you're angry and just go like, okay, I am angry, or I'm about to get angry, or anything along those lines, is the second you acknowledge and you're aware that you're angry, shift towards gratitude. So make it a conscious predisposition that the second you feel anger arising, you switch to gratitude immediately, because the two cannot coexist at the same time. Just immediately list 10 things you're grateful for.
It would take a bit of training, but that's exactly what you should
do.
Yeah.
Obviously, I didn't start off like the first time I learned this lesson, I didn't start off, oh, the second I'm angry, I just listed 10 things I'm grateful for, excuse me, and it went down. Let's say, la samahallah, got angry, and the moment passed, I maybe said something I shouldn't have said, or let it affect me too long, because I think more so than saying something I shouldn't have said is I let it fester and affect me longer than it deserved.
You know, at an early age, I taught you something about negative learning and positive learning.
Yeah.
Watch another one. Watch people when they are angry.
It's hideous. Yeah.
And ask yourself, you want to be like that? You want to look like that? You want to behave like that?
No one looks pretty angry.
No one.
No one looks attractive angry.
No one.
You look, honestly, you look like a filthy hog.
Now, I would, but this is a very high level of training. It takes time. When you have stuff to, when you have children, when you run a society, or you run a tribe, or you run a school, or you run a class, or whatever it is, you need to learn how to act angry, but don't be angry.
I think I said this. I said this lesson that you taught me. Not me. I'm saying I said this about something that you taught me. Because I would see you sometimes with an employee or my siblings or whatever. You would get this look like you were about to combust, spontaneous combustion. And you wouldn't raise your voice necessarily. It would just be a statement or a stern whatever. And let's say the person would go and I'd look at you. I'd be like, Dad, you need to relax. You don't need to get angry like that. And you'd immediately just look at me. It's almost a little psychotic. I'm not angry. I have to feign anger so the person recognizes how intense their mistake was, but I'm not angry.
If you manage to fake anger, but it takes a lot of work, then you get results. You get amazing results.
Yeah.
If you get angry, regardless what is the situation and how inferior or subordinate the people you are angry in front of, you lost it.
Yeah.
You just lost your case.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I just want to go back to what I was saying about the gratitude, and you were saying it takes a lot of training. I agree, but I just want to preface this and continue by saying that I didn't master it the first time. I still haven't mastered it. God, like, inshallah, I will. But the way anger affects me is what hurt me the most. It's not how it affects other people. People move on with their lives. But when you let it fester and boil and all of that inside of you, it's horrendous. And then, so the first time it happened, and then I didn't go to the gratitude, and I calmed down from the anger. I'm like, ugh, I forgot about the gratitude. Next time, Layla, next time. And it slowly builds up, but you have to start somewhere.
Absolutely.
So it takes training, yes, absolutely. But we're all capable, inshallah. I take that back. We're not all capable. Inshallah, you can be capable.
We are all being given the capability. No. Do we find it? Do we look for it?
No, we've not all been given
the capability. As humans, we are all.
No, I disagree.
Well,
we've not all been given the capability. I fully disagree. We're not all built the same. We're not all mentally the same. Not everyone. Because it goes back to born good and evil. I do believe some people are born evil. So no, we're not all capable.
No. Okay.
Personal belief, but
that's a different subject.
I know, I'm just saying. But anyway, that answers our question about how to process anger in a healthy way. Okay, this is a good question, but you will know how to answer it. I just don't necessarily know if people want to hear a man answer this question. Why a woman should be in her feminine energy?
You answer it.
Because it's our divine purpose. Anything that has come opposing your feminine energy, I'll explain this actually in the simplest way that I've seen it transpire, and it's phenomenal to witness. When a woman taps into her masculine energy, sometimes out of necessity, she needs to take care of herself or her family or. That level of stress and anxiety and hardship, the way it physically affects a woman is monumental. The way it affects her cycle, her hair, her skin, her sleep pattern, her food, her hormones, her depression, mental health, it's outstanding. But then you see a man, and I'm talking about a good man, a divine man here, go through that hardship, that stress. It has been scientifically proven that it actually increases their testosterone. It makes their skin glow. They look like they've been carved by a Greek god. If that isn't your answer, women, like, we feel it when you're under heavy stress or financial duress or career struggles. You don't sleep at night. It affects everything.
I do not understand why does it sound like a bad thing when you say that we are really, really, really different. We create differently. We function differently. We think differently.
It's an insult nowadays.
We resolve problems differently. We handle stress differently. But that difference does not mean that we have to be in two different islands and never... That we need each other. We complete each other.
Absolutely.
Now, why do you need to be in your feminist energy? Because that attracts the masculine energy, the perfect masculine energy.
Agreed. That's a big part of it, which I think is important. And I think it is something you should have in the forefront of your mind. Like, it is something to aspire to, just in the sense of, when I say this, people think it's condescending or pick me. I will say one thing, though. One of the hardest things to do in this dunya, especially in this day and age, is for a good man and a good woman to unite, to create a beautiful family nucleus, and to stay together, to remain united. It's one of the hardest things to accomplish.
Everything is conspiring against it.
And everything's conspiring against it. Don't get me wrong, I'm not going to undermine how difficult it can be to make money, but I've seen plenty of people make money. Plenty. Make money, lose money, make money, lose money. Do you know the seldom few that I've found that have created a family nucleus that is divine and holy and holistic? I maybe know one in the 29 years that I've been alive. If that isn't a testament to truly how difficult that is to attain and maintain, I don't know what is. So your divine feminine, yes, I agree with you. Number one, gets you closer to that. Number two, the effect that it has on you, it's so detrimental.
That's the second thing I was about to say. Because simply, it is really good for you.
Yes.
It is healthy.
Yes.
It is very simple. Like why would a man want to be in a feminine energy? You need to question whom he is and what he does and why.
Yeah.
It's and there is a lot of misconceptions and playing with the words and
yes, because they'll tell you, like, we have both inside of us, and then they'll tell you when a man taps into his feminine, and I can understand, because that's when he can be softer, or he can help you around the house and cook and sew. And Rasul alayhi salatu salam used to sew and used to sew, right? I said it right, and do all of that. But you can't say that is the divine masculine.
That's the divine masculine.
That's the divine masculine. That's exactly. So I think why you should be in your femininity, because everything about it is the truest form of your essence and the healthiest you could ever possibly be. Anything that is not aligned with that hurts you and everyone around you. I will also add one thing. I watched a podcast, and this dude had mentioned that there was a study that had been done where they put 100 men in a room and 100 women in a separate room, and they left them in there for an hour. And by the end of the hour, they asked them the same question. They asked the woman, what did you think of the past hour? And they asked the men, what did you think of the past hour? The 100 women replayed previous conversations in their heads. And the 100 men were thinking about something that was coming, like something to come that they needed to tackle and handle, problem solving. If that doesn't show you that we are fundamentally different, I don't know what will. And I will add, I watched one of Shahid Bolson's videos on YouTube, and he said, we're not equal. But who lied to you and said all women are equal and all men are equal? And I really, so simple, but I really thought about it. Not all women are the same. Not all women have the same needs. Not all men are the same. Not all men function the same. Biologically, in our essence, at our core, are we the same? Yes. But do you get what I'm saying?
Very much.
So anyway, to answer your question, that is absolutely why you should be in your femininity, because it is the greatest gift you can give yourself.
It's the greatest gift that's been given to you. Yeah. You just need to hold it.
Yeah, tap into it. I was about to say, actually, you're absolutely right, because I was going to say, when you're in your feminine, your spirituality grows. It can take deeper roots. It can open more doors for you. And I'm talking here on a spiritual realm. Women are healers. You cannot be a healer if you're not in your divine feminine.
If women understand how close they are to God, just by the essence of being woman.
Excuse me, yeah.
Alhamdulillah.
Ameen. Okay, beautiful question. So the next question is, why are so many people single these days?
Because it's extremely expensive to have a partner. But that's not monetary expense.
I know you didn't mean monetary expense or financial. How much time have you got for this question?
Actually, it takes 2 years to answer this question.
This question takes a long time. But a lot of the videos we've done have a lot to do with this. The epidemic, the mental epidemic of the grass is greener on the other side. The individualism that we were talking about in the beginning of this, that everyone is me, me, me. One of my biggest things, but it has a lot of things, like you said, we can take 2 years answering this. The dating culture today is a crash course in divorce.
What I want to say is, again, go back and ask our question, our cell phone question. Mm. How expensive it is to be into somebody's life from your side?
Yes. I will say, though, it is because of the dating culture today and the crash course. And you, because we've embedded in people's minds and souls how easy it is to walk away from something and someone. It's easier because sometimes you're walking away from a job or an inanimate thing or whatever. But to have made it so easy to walk away from a soul, I don't think people understand just how insanely evil that is. Like, I need people to take a moment to understand what the dating culture today has done. It has made it so easy for you to drop an entire soul that you once claimed to love, to cherish, and promise to stay with no matter what. Now, in some cases, if there was an extreme reason, or there is a clear reason that no, separate, absolutely, I understand. But this ability to just drop a soul like it means nothing, do people genuinely understand just how evil that is?
It is very evil.
It is the essence of evil. Satan's doing a hopscotch dance down in hell because of it. Truly, it's the separation is absolutely what he wants.
Just watch an elderly couple in their 80s or 90s.
I saw a video today and I was going to send it to you on Instagram.
Oh. Their 70s, 80s or 90s, they crumble, they're weak, they can hardly walk. I cannot even think. Imagine, fathom the idea that they're hugging and kissing, God forbids. This maybe happened a few decades ago. But they wouldn't separate. They wouldn't leave each other. What is it that keeps them together?
Companionship.
And where is it coming from?
And I don't think necessarily all of them are. Actually, you know what? Divine, whether they know it or not.
Well, divine, companionship is divine. It's absolutely. by its nature. Being able to spend time with someone for long. But where is it coming from? Is it coming from me evaluating how beautiful she is? Because let me tell you, regardless how beautiful my woman, in 10 years' time, she's a different woman.
I don't like when you say my woman. It makes me so uncomfortable.
That's an example, Baba.
I know. Every time you say something like this, I gag. I die a little inside.
Okay. Any man. Think of your woman in 10 years. She's different.
Of course.
Think of yourself in 10 years. You're different. So What keeps us together?
Mawadda.
Al-mawadda. Waja'alna baynahum mawaddatan wa rahmah.
Yeah. This is where in the Quran, Allah doesn't talk about love in the modern sense of love between a couple. He talks about the mawadda, which comes from love.
It does not exist at all in our holy book. Never there. The word muhabba is related to the Allah, Allah Jalla Jalala, and to the Prophet.
That's what I'm saying. So in the Quran, when it comes to a marriage or a partnership, there is no mention of love, but there is mawadda,
sakina,
yeah, the peace, the companionship, the hinniya.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's interesting. Allow me to say this, that a lot of people focus so much. Excuse me. Focus so much on love, love, in love. I love him. He loves me. But there is none of the mawadda and the peace and the serenity.
That's called enamoration. It has a very short lifespan.
So short. Fruit fly lifespan.
Fruit fly lifespan. I like that one.
Fruit fly lifespan, honestly.
Amazing.
Just here for a good time, not a long time.
Yes.
30 days and we're out.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah.
And one of the silliest. Actually, it's an insulting reason that you see again and again. Why did you leave him? Why did you leave her? Oh, I fall out of love. Tu'a ala wajhak.
روح عن جد بلاش بلاش خليني ساكتة.
I fall out of
إمك داعي عليك لو حكيت هيك قدامي.
تقع على وجهك ما تقوم.
أنا لو حدا حكى هيك قدامي, if someone says this in front of me, I'm literally like, your mama does not like you today. But I agree.
Like, we don't live with our partner because we are continuously in love. No, it doesn't happen like that.
Yeah.
This idea that's been propagated and all the movies and all the songs and all, like it really caused a lot of damage to societies, and to some societies more than others.
I will also add, and it's one of the reasons, like when I say I want an ambitious man or a successful man, people just think, when I'm not saying people, the public here, I'm saying when I'm talking to my close friends, their first assumption, and I pay attention to this, is someone who just has money so he can spoil me. And I'm like, I'm going to stop you right there. Because a dude having mommy, poppy money, it means nothing to me. That means nothing to me. I can't explain to you how little that means to me. But a man who worked for his success, and I'm not necessarily saying has to be a bajillionaire, but successful, and success comes in many different shapes and sizes. But a man who worked for his success, who didn't give up, that is the man who knows the value of working hard for something good and how to keep it and maintain it. That philosophy can then trickle down into a relationship. He knows the value of maintaining the relationship with a good woman. It's not easy.
It's not easy. It's manhood. It's simple.
Yeah, but do you understand what I'm saying? The ideology, the essence of it applies. To me, someone who knows the value of working for something hard and maintaining it and keeping it and then understanding what it means and you know, almost basking in the success of it, which is also a beautiful thing. So I think that's why people stay single a lot. They also don't know, they have no idea what working hard to maintain something good means. Not in the slightest.
Alhamdulillah. Other question.
Khalas, this answers our question. This is part 0.0001
of the answer.
But you know. Okay, bismillah. A next question. Oh, this caught my eye. Subhanallah, and they're right next to each other. Okay? How to patiently and gracefully be patient and not compare yourself to others. And the one right next to it, which is where I did the, what is patience? How does it work?
Allah.
So this is on social media, but I don't know if I think you don't necessarily agree that this is a true saying. And I haven't found proof that this is legitimately has been said by Ali. When I say Ali, do I have to say alayhi salam after?
Alayhi salam, karam Allah wajhahu.
I have to say alayhi salam, right?
Alayhi salam, karam Allah wajhahu, radiyallahu anhu.
Radiyallahu anhu, sorry. Alayhi see, salam. We learn.
I would say alayhi salam. But you can see.
Okay, but we learn. See, ask questions, it's okay. Where Imam Ali, radiyallahu anhu, said, Bismillah, sa'asburu hatta ya'juzu sabru an sabri, which means I will be patient until even patience tires of my patience. I have the inkling that he said this after Fatima radiallahu anha passed away. You don't necessarily think this is something he could, because I haven't found the true source for this, but it's just a quote that I've seen on Pinterest, and it's always Imam Ali, Imam Ali, Imam Ali. I think it's, oh, I have to preface this by saying it means I will be patient until even patience tires of my patience. You don't necessarily think he said this. Now, this is the sentence that taught me patience.
It's a beautiful
It is a beautiful yeah. saying.
فَاصْبِرْ لِحُكْمِ رَبِّكِ.
That means be patient for God's wisdom or his...
That was said to the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام.
حكم in this case, wisdom or decision?
Decision, what God's want. Mm. That's it. Because what you go through, what people do not understand is that they associate patience with
hardship with and struggle, and it's like the hardest thing in the world
to
do.
On the contrary, being patient on the good, on the ni'am, on the time where you have the bliss. And here, patience means that you do not astray, you do the right thing, because it's a major temptation to be enabled.
Of course.
What do you do when you are enabled?
Of course. Can I? Okay, I'm just going to say this because this is how I learned patience. It's very interesting. There's a movie. This is actually going to be hilarious. But there's a movie, I forgot, I think it's called, it's something about Noah's Ark, where I can't even remember the name of the actor. Steve Carell plays Noah, but in a very modern day comedic way, where like God made him a modern day Noah and he had to build an ark to like save a flood, and it was just a dam that, and Morgan Freeman plays God, for lack of a better scenario. And he goes up to the woman while she's sitting in a diner, like really sad that her husband's turned crazy and literally turned into Noah. And she had prayed in the beginning of the movie for the family to be closer. So he comes to her and he says a bunch of things. And by the end, Morgan Freeman tells her, "Do you think when you pray for patience, does God just give you patience, or does he give you the opportunity to be patient? Do you think when someone prays for a family to become closer, does he just put bubbly feelings in your heart, or does he give you the opportunity to be closer?" And I found that really beautiful. Now, that being said, Bismillah, with Imam Ali radiallahu anhu saying, سَأَصْبُرُ حَتَّى يَعْجُزُ الصَّبْرُ عَنْ صَبْرِي, which means I will be patient until even patience tires of my patience, I fell in love with that quote very early on in life. And I remember when I came to you and my mother and I said this, both of you, subhanAllah, had the same answer. It is a beautiful saying. Be very careful with it. Never pray for patience, because God will test you and God will put you through things because you asked for patience. So God doesn't just put patience in your heart. He gives you the opportunity to be patient. And if you look at this dunya that you said in the beginning of this, it is a pit stop. It's a train stop until, inshallah, the akhirah. It is 70, 80 years of patience.
Let's assume that somebody is praying now that he becomes so muscly and so fit. Keep on praying. If you don't go to the gym and work out, it's not going to happen.
Yeah, which is so, like when God haka isaya abdi wabasa maak. You can be patient for what you want, but are you doing illa alayk biwaqt al-sabr? Are you doing your part during the patience?
Never ask for patience. Just be patient. Because regardless where you are and whom you
but
are...
But when you're being patient, the mindset, the faith, the yaqeen, the negativity, the train of thought...
If you think you are patient, you're not.
That's not what I'm saying.
Okay, what I'm saying is, if you think in the situation that you are patient, you are not. Because part of being patient is not to realize that you are. Just accepting the situation and dealing with it properly.
I understand. Mm-hmm. While you are accepting... Okay, yeah, yeah. So while you're accepting and dealing with it properly, that's my point. Deal with it properly. Yeah.
Deal with it properly.
Yeah.
You like it, be grateful, acknowledge it, always acknowledge where it came, and always acknowledge the fact that it can be taken.
Can we give people a little tip on how to be more patient? And I think that's why I talk about the mindset, and I think it's so important. If you look at it as, because I know a lot of people will fall victim to this, and it's not necessarily intentional. They think it's the right thing. It's like, khalas, I'm patient. Okay, I'm good. I'm patient. I'm happy. I'll wait for God, you know? But it's, if you look at everything, I always say this, change the lens from which you view things, right? So if you're looking at it as, it's not patience, it's God processing you. It's not patience, it's even something better coming. It's not patience, it's I'm so happy where I am now, content, rida.
Start by not hastening things. Not trying to reach things quickly. Mm. Allow things to take their time. Like start with the basic, how you drive and how do you communicate with people when you're driving. Start with the most, how do you deal with the people in your, people that you have authority on. The one who works in your house, the one who talks to you, the one who cleans your car. Start with the minimum and just watch yourself. Patience does not require that you have a trauma or a dilemma or a disaster that hits you and then you show your patience.
Yeah.
God forbid, it's
with every day.
Yeah.
But that's my point. You steal my ideas and then you say them like they're your own.
What? I don't know. Father, that's why you're my daughter.
Okay. Someone said Palestine, and I'm just going to say rep in my people. Game recognizes game. Honestly, I will say this. All of this, to me, I credit to the Palestinian essence in my soul. Game recognizes game, Abdussalam.
Alhamdulillah, ala kulli hal.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Today was awesome. Thanks, Dad.
Love you.
Wish him a happy birthday, guys. I love you too.
Assalamu alaikum.